Hi, I'm Jessica St. Clair.
And I'm June Diane Raphael.
And this is
The Deep Dive.
We're about to do what women have done for centuries. We're crowding around the fire with our generous haunches. We got babies hanging off our tits, and we're going to share with you our fears.
That's right. Our joys.
Our tips on how to stay alive.
Now, Jess, we are heeding a call that no one has made.
Not a soul, but you're invited to listen.
Absolutely, because we make one promise and one promise only. We will not Google a thing.
Because frankly, we're too damn tired.
Please get ready to go on
The Deep Dive.
Hi, Jessica.
June.
Hello.
I'm so nervous and excited and yet not nervous and excited enough to brush my hair or my teeth or put makeup on.
You know what? I'm glad you said that because we're going to get right in. Folks, we have a new podcast. It started. You're listening to it. And just today, before we started recording really our very first episode, Jessica emailed me and our wonderful producer, Cody, and our engineer, Jordan, and said, should we video record this?
I see lots of people. Kids are doing?
What the fuck were you talking about?
The millennials are doing it. They're putting it on the Instagram.
Jessica.
And I know you're a millennial, as you've told me many times, but I thought this is what the people do. And you wrote, that's insane.
That's
I don't want anybody to see
insane.
Me.
The only reason I'm doing a podcast is to not be seen. That's literally the only reason to do this.
And yet, we want to be seen for our authentic selves.
I'd like to be seen,
but only by me.
My words?
Through somebody's ear holes.
Yes. First of all, I see Whitney Cummings putting out video recordings of her podcast. I see Sarah Silverman doing it. And
both
I don't
of them
get it.
Have skin, the skin of a 14-year-old girl who was never plagued with acne.
So yeah, Jessica, I'm only doing this podcast, I have to be totally honest, because I can do it with no makeup on, hair in a bun, and looking like a real creature of the night. A real creech.
And you know, this is a lot like when you have sex with somebody for the first time and you need all of the conditions to be correct. You know, I need the right temperature. I want it to be, you know, the right music. Although I've never had anyone who's put on music of any sort. I want there to be rose petals. That, again, has never happened to me.
So you like a real romantic setting. It sounds like you like making love.
I want to feel like I'm on the set of my own TV show and I have decided what I'm going to look like, what they're going to look like.
Oh, my God.
Who they are, what they're dressed like. The only thing I don't want is Lennon on the old cans saying,
watching,
can you do it again? Take it slower. And that I have had that experience.
We're already on our sex drives. We're already getting too much of an insight into what you prefer and don't prefer. And I believe we may have lost the majority of the audience. And you know what? Today I was thinking about, Jessica, as we're recording our first episode of The Deep Dive, and we are going to be getting into it all. No subject left unturned. We're going to be doing a real excavation and an investigation into what it is to be an adult woman in the world.
That's right.
And exploring it really through the lens of our friendship. And that is why we're here, you and I, because so many of our conversations with the two of us, with our other girlfriends, many of whom we're going to be roping into this podcast and you'll be hearing from, have truly been life-saving. I'm going to say
life-saving.
Life-saving.
And you know, one of the things we do, and you know, at this point with children and our lives and then the pandemic, maybe if we see each other once every 2 months, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. Like if we can get together. So when we get together, now it's been outside in somebody's driveway, in somebody's backyard, in distanced, you know, masked. But before then, we would usually be in somebody's living room. And as you know, I invite the group to someone else's house without asking.
I found out at like 6:30 at night that Jessica has invited a group of like 8 women over, and they'll be there at 8 p.m.
To your house.
To my home. And I have to scramble.
And I don't expect much. I don't expect much, although I would like a salty treat and then some dark
chocolate.
You'd like a spread. That's all
you'd like a spread with whatever.
Of course I would
with
like whatever it. I would like it, but listen, I don't want to be in my own home. I don't find my own home to be very welcoming to strangers or even myself a lot of the time. So I'd like to be in somebody else's house. I want to be tucked up on a couch like a little indoor cat. And I just want to be with, surrounded by my girlfriends. And then I want to instantly
get in
here.
Start
what's
the deep
happening
dive.
Deep inside.
Yes, we do not have time for pleasantries.
I don't, because I only have maybe 3 hours.
Absolutely. I don't have time to hear about your kids unless there's something horrible going on and then start sharing now.
Right, of course. And we'll get out our Rolodex of people we know and doctors.
Absolutely.
But I want to know.
It's just chit-chat bullshit. I'm not interested.
I want to know what you're putting on your face. I want to know if you're injecting something into your face.
Yep.
And if you tell me that, I'm not going to tell anybody except for all of our listeners. But I'm not going to say who. I want to know.
But we won't name names. Yeah.
We won't name names. I want to know who are you in love with right now? Who are you feeling connected to? Who are you feeling disconnected to? How's your sex life? But like, not that I want to know, like, how are you feeling fulfilled in your life's purpose? Can we help you? Where do you want to travel? What's on your bucket list? And how can I help you get there? How'd you get that good blowout?
It was at the Dyson.
Yourself? I would like to. Okay.
Let's. Okay. Listen, I don't want to derail us too much on the Dyson, both the hairdryer and the smooth and control system or whatever the fuck that's called.
Did it work?
Okay.
And if, Jessica, by the way, if they would like to come on as a sponsor,
I'm always happy to have them.
Happy to have
always
them.
Always happy to have them.
I have made some recommendations, both on a podcast and sometimes during a live show. And again, I wasn't asked to make these recommendations. I brought the Dyson smooth and control system on stage during a bitch sesh. They were very upset by it. It came in a leather box. It didn't work. It's not worth the money. Okay. But aren't you glad I did that first and I did the work to then tell you
even
3 months later?
I haven't even told you that I was gifted a smooth and control system or the air dryer or whatever that thing is called. That we're talking about the same thing that comes with about 8 parts.
Yeah, that's correct. Like you would like a very complicated dildo or whatever.
Yes,
with like a,
exactly.
You know, you can put on like the rotating
things.
One. You can put out.
Yeah.
Although, by the way, never used one. Would love
a dildo?
To talk about that on a different. That's right.
Jessica, what the fuck? Wait, you don't own a vibrator?
I'm
going to also say something to the audience. Whoever's here, whoever's left, I started doing a podcast over 10 years ago.
I hope it's not my dad. I hope it's not my dad.
Really hope it's not. Thank God both of my parents are passed. Truly, because I feel a freedom to talk about things. But I've been at this game for a long time. Before people knew what podcasts were.
That's right.
Now, have I been called the first lady of podcasting? No one's ever said that.
I call you that.
Thank you.
If you want me to. I've never called you that, but
you've
if
never
you'd like
called
me to
that.
Start calling
but
you that.
I started doing a podcast when people were like, oh, what channel is that on?
Right.
Okay.
Right,
so
right,
I was a very early adopter, thanks to Paul Scheer. But now it's our turn.
Yeah. Well,
you know
it,
what
listen,
I mean? And again, no, has anyone asked us to do this podcast? Absolutely not.
There's not been a call
there
to have it.
Not, we are not heeding a call. You know, no one has said we need 2 more white women talking about very little and yet everything. No one said that to us.
But
it's
you know
not gonna,
what?
It's not going to stop me.
June, I'm going to tell you something, though, because again, and I don't want to dwell on the pandemic because it's been a real bummer. It's been a real bummer.
And just for our deep divers who, again, are still left, we are now over a year into it.
That's right. We just passed our anniversary. And I have a lot to say, too, about the anniversary. And again, I don't want to talk about cancer too much, but I'm going to talk about what it's like to come out of the dark because I've been there and it's very complicated. And I want everyone to know it's much more complicated than you think. You think you hit a finish line. Now, of course, we're not out of the pandemic, but I can say that we've started to emerge. You know, you can be with vaccinated people together. You can start to see some friends.
I haven't gotten my vaccinations yet, but I've heard it feels great.
Well, you're trapped in Canada right now.
I know. I don't even want to talk about where I am because I actually am very upset that I thought about this morning. Like, I'm recording this podcast, Jess. I'm more dysregulated in this moment than I've been in years. I'm not well right now.
And you know what? That I'm glad you're here and I'm glad we're talking because, quite frankly, you don't even have the time to pick up the phone and tell somebody you're dysregulated. So if we have to do it on the air, that's fine.
No, I'm really dissociating. I haven't seen my children in two and a half weeks. I still have another week before I see them. I cannot see a soul here. I'm not well.
Nor should you be. Why
and
are we
also? Yes. And you're right. Because here's my concern about moving past the pandemic back into whatever normal we pull together is I am really feeling the need to like go into a hut. And I've told Paul Scheer this. Go into a hut, enter into it on like a Friday night.
Yeah.
Have sex with a lot of like multiple partners.
Partners. I thought you were talking about when you used to on Mother's Day check yourself into Langham Hotel in Pasadena and just read books all day. This is like this is a very different movie you're describing to me.
Because this is where I'm at. I need to do that and then like do a lot of hard drugs.
I understand that.
Okay. Yes. Like, I'm talking like mushrooms, ecstasy, all of like the stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe get a tattoo.
And then
check out on a Sunday by noon.
I completely understand that. And what you're describing is what I went through 6 months. I'm going to say it was about 6 months. Might have been longer. Again, I've lost track of time or space, but in 3 days, you're talking about what I went through in the 6 to 8 months after I was, you know, done with treatment and I could emerge into the world, which is this feeling that you are a different person and that there is no room or space for this deep sadness that you've kind of like been pushing down because you had to survive it. What you realize is when a zebra is chased by a lion, stay with me.
Okay.
Okay. If it escapes the lion, okay, it has all this cortisol in its system. If it escapes, it then involuntarily shakes. It starts shaking wildly like it's having a seizure.
Wow. I was going to say orgasm.
That's, again,
you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know. We have a lot to talk about.
I used one once. And it made me feel like I was a dead fish. Like, it shook me so much that I was like, I think I'm dead in nuts. Like, I need to
Jessica. By the way, so I packed a vibrator and I came to Canada with one. And then by accident, packed it with my kids' stuff and sent them home with it. And then, like, I told Paul, I was like, I need someone to overnight me. I was paying to get a vibrator, like, overnight shipped to me.
By the way, you're somebody who by accident had sex toys sent to their business manager.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
They had to open it, repackage it, and resend it.
That was a tough conversation.
Did you talk between about it or did you not?
I said that it was a prop. I couldn't. This was a man. You know, my business manager is a lovely, and he's like a bear of a man. He looks like... You know the Incredibles, how they're like all like basically box, like the Mr. Incredible is like a box. Like that's what he looks like in a suit. And he's a kindly man.
He's like a dad. He's a dad figure.
He came to my home after my dad passed away, helped me sort through like all of the estate issues, et cetera. Right. I could not
say to this man. And now he's sorting through your dildos.
Dildos and the like. I mean, Jessica, I gotta... Okay, that's a whole other conversation. One that I hope you're willing to have very openly and honestly.
I've already said it now 6 times. If my father is listening, which he probably is, because he's just like your dad, rest in peace, where like he's so proud of me, he can't not listen to it. And he has to listen to my Wampanups. And I say some of the worst... I sang to the tune of Feed the Birds from Mary Poppins, Feed the Dogs in the last thing. And so anyway, I'm not doing this to be funny. I mean, I'm serious. But anyway,
I mean, I want to ask you a question like, OK, so you're not using a vibrator, but are you masturbating? I mean, I'm going to ask you.
Of course, I'm not dead.
OK, great. But well, so that makes me feel better. Yeah.
To me, what's sexy is having to dry hump over a pair of hard jeans. And your parents like are out for an hour. They've gone to Walgreens and you got to get it done and get that person out of your house.
I see.
Like, I am a cat burglar. I want to sneak people in. I want to sneak people out. So that's, and I
so
think
vibrators
that's
are like too available then to you. Like,
well, they're too mechanical. It almost feels like if you, it, like, this is the crazy part of me. It's like, I didn't need it when my sexuality came to fruition. Be. And so I'm like, why would I need it now? That is a huge hang up of mine that I really want to push through. So yes, thank you. And we will do an episode about
it. Okay, great.
And I want to talk about it. I want to have like our most sexual friend on, which could be you.
Think that's me.
Anyway,
and she's here.
But can I go back to the real thing, which is like,
yes,
the zebra shakes. Okay, so it has to release. That's called completing the stress cycle.
Hmm.
And if you don't complete it, the cortisol remains in your body. And it's not good. Now, this isn't that kind of like, you know, like, oh, I think the stress is eating at me. No, it's real. Okay. The animal world does this. And so what is happening right now is we have built up all of this horrible stress. And then we're just supposed to jump into like go into a 4th of July barbecue. And like there hasn't been any release. Okay.
No.
That happened to me because I didn't realize this. There's a great book actually called Burnout, which it was a follow-up book to She Comes First, which is actually all about dildos, et cetera, and like claiming your pleasure as a woman. But anyway, Burnout is all about this, about how as a culture, we don't allow that kind of release of stress. Crying releases that. Exercise releases that. Being in nature releases that. Again, having sex with multiple people and doing a bunch of drugs. I don't know if that's going to be the most healthy version. For me,
just
I ended up.
Hear me out. Hear me out.
No, but actually, I do think it would probably something.
You
where
know
you're
what
like
I want? I
letting
want
loose.
I want to let loose, and I feel
that's
like
right.
I want to. I want every sensory experience in one weekend, and I want to feel alive. I mean, I feel like that's
you want to feel alive.
I want to feel alive. Time has collapsed. I feel like we've been robbed of a year, and you know, of course, I am so fucking lucky that I've been able to, you know, withstand this pandemic. And I did lose someone I really cared about to COVID. And,
I'm so sorry,
you know, so
June,
I wasn't
I didn't know that.
Yeah. My aunt died of COVID early
oh
on in
God.
The beginning. And
June, I'm so sorry.
Oh, thank you, Jess. But I, so I'm not without like having been touched by it, but I also know that relatively, you know, that this pandemic hasn't affected me nearly as much as it has the majority of people.
Of course.
And that's the last time I'll try to be relatable on this podcast because it's not worth it for me. I'm not a relatable person and I never have been. And that's what I want people to know. Even when I had no money and no access to the industry, I still wasn't relatable. I still was your gal next door. So just know that I've never been relatable.
That is not
I'm
true,
gonna stop
June.
Trying.
That's not true. Yes, you appreciate the finer things in life.
Always
even when you
have.
Can't afford them. Always have. But you are somebody who's not afraid to air your dirty laundry and to say, I am feeling this. Does anybody else feel this? And that's what I think makes us feel less alone, especially during these tragic and horrible times, is to say, I'm struggling. You know, I'm struggling. I'm having trouble. Does anybody else having trouble? Because, and that's what I want to keep in mind is as we re-enter, I think there's this repressive feeling of like, well, I should be so happy that I can go to the grocery store now and because I'm vaccinated and not feel like I'm going to die. If you're feeling really sad and still despondent and also like you don't know what to do, that's normal. Okay. And you need to honor that and you need to try and understand your body's trying to tell you something and that's you need to release that stress.
And yes, and I think that most Americans aren't encouraged to perform rituals and you know, to go through a ritual, the idea is like you are different after. You start one way, something happens, usually it's witnessed by other people, and then you walk out differently. That's why, you know, the inauguration. Even the evening of silence they had for as a COVID memorial that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris did, all of those rituals, I have never, when I watched that inauguration, Jessica, I was like, literally, I couldn't watch more, I couldn't get enough fireworks and display and like Americana because I needed it. I needed it to begin a healing process of what has been the last 4 years. And that's why I feel like I need to go into my HUD.
I know.
Because I need a ritual. I need to feel like something's happened that can mark an experience. Yes. Now, for me, does that have to do with like sex and drugs and like tattoos?
I'd love to be in the desert with you. Not
you don't want to be in the
guys to the desert. I don't want to be in the HUD. I can stand outside and just make sure if you need to hydrate. But do you remember? Of course you remember, June. You weren't actually there. You had, I forget where you were, and it might be you were visiting your dad. Mm-hmm. But when I was done with my treatment, Lennon and my girlfriends threw a 40th birthday for me.
My dad had just passed away because I remember writing something for you. Yes.
Well, I'll never forget what you wrote me, and I wish I had it near me so I could read it, do it justice. But basically, I showed up, and they had turned our dear friend Christie's house into the south of France, my favorite happy place. It was insane. And I had like maybe a third of my hair remaining, and I didn't know what to do with it. And I looked a little bit like Dog the Bounty Hunter. And I put on some sort of weird boho dress. That's another thing. I had no idea how to dress post. Yeah. You remember, I had to try to get a makeover.
She wore those braids.
She wore her braids looked like a challah, piece of challah bread on her. And then our astrologer who we have on. And I know I've said that word and maybe a lot of people turned us off again. Like, okay, that's your loss because this woman is going to change your life. So then I thought we were just going to hang out. And she said, okay, everyone gather in a circle. And she said, we're going to do a ceremony now. And I was like, wait, what? And then Danielle Schneider, our first guest, brings out a porcelain bowl filled with crystals. Okay. White crystals. I didn't know what the ritual was going to be, but I stop everybody. And I looked around and there were maybe 20 something women who had each contributed to my surviving this. And I said, before we do anything, I'd like to go around and I'd like to say what each of you did to me, for me. And I went and it was like I was in another plane. Okay. And I went one by one. Now, did I say some unkind things about what people were wearing when they first met me 10 years ago?
We had
of course.
To keep it real. Yeah. I mean, we all know what Casey showed up with. Yeah.
I spent a good.
We also have to name our truths when we see them. Make it plain.
I was like, I was
plainly.
Like three people in and I turned to Casey. I go, I'm so sorry. That braid on your head is distracting me. And she's like, I took a risk last night and I slept in it. I'm like, you took
you
a
sure
risk.
Did.
Don't bring it to my ceremony.
Please keep it. Out
of here. But anyway,
like we're trying to connect to a higher plane. Like
that's right. I don't want to be distracted by your like attempt to be Princess Leia, but only put it on the top of your head. But and I don't even know if that was all her hair. Actually, I think it was. She's very thick hair. But anyway, and then everybody went around and read to me their dedications. And yours was about, oh God, I'm going to start crying just thinking about it. But it was about how the women, the Amazon women. It's 10 a.m. on a Monday. The Amazon women used to cut off their breasts before battle so that they wouldn't be encumbered. And they were warriors. And that was what I was. And I just, so I'm reading. They were, everyone read theirs. And I think Casey read yours. And I was a fucking mess. I sobbed. We all sobbed. For a good hour and a half, we sobbed. And that was what we all need it. And that's what we need now. I don't know how we're going to get it, but we need it. And maybe it's maybe this podcast can be a way that we can all kind of try as women and men to reach out to each other and have a good cry while you're doing the dishes, you know,
absolutely.
On a run.
And have a laugh too.
And have a laugh because we were laughing at the same time.
Yeah.
Because crazy shit goes down during intense moments. And I know, yes, there's been horrible moments to this, but I'm sure there's also been crazy things that have gone down during
Listen, I think that I'm gonna walk ahead and into, you know, the next chapter of life with some real lessons, of course. And I'm also, I have to warn you about this. Like I have been, in terms of like serums and lotions and potions and procedures, like I've always been fairly on the conservative side of things. So yes, I've learned some major spiritual lessons,
Yeah.
But here's another thing I'm going to walk into the new world with. A real fuck it attitude of like, oh, if I want something agree. Done, Jessica, if I want something changed, if I want to feel a certain way about this body that lives in this time and space, I'm going to fucking do it.
Well, guess what? I am the person that now in a, well, when we had cocktail parties, Lennon would say, hey, could you stop, you know, pushing plastic surgery on people? I said, I'm not pushing it. But if I hear some, listen, I know now that we are just a skin suit on top of a skeleton. This is a skin suit. This and by at this point,
suit. This is a skin. I'm wearing my skin suit. Yeah.
Do any of us not have scars at this time? And post 40, you've got scars and you've got things that are different. Guess what? You've been walking around every time you look in the mirror going, oh, I hate that thing. Change it if you have the money. Do a GoFundMe. I don't give a fuck. There are people who will change it. And I will say, and this is an unpopular opinion, that the more shit that Khloe Kardashian shoots into her face, the more beautiful she looks.
Okay. Okay. Cut. Cut. Jordan, cut that. Okay. Okay. No, you've said something very controversial. And I don't know if I... Listen, I also...
Only if you want it. If you want okay, it. I'm so not saying you what I should do. It.
We're both yelling at each other. Here's what I want to do. I want to get the shit done that I want to get done, and I'm not going to feel badly about it. And at the same time, I want to be working on my spiritual self. I believe both those things can happen. I don't think they're mutually exclusive. Like, I want to be working on my spiritual self because I do understand, I absolutely understand that this body, you know, old is the goal. Old is absolutely the goal. So I understand that this is all going away, that, you know, my looks will fade. And I do want to start working on my spiritual self so that I'm not like bereft at the age of 80. Also thinking back and thinking, fuck, I wasted so much time worried about that stuff.
No, that said, of course.
Maybe I'll be getting extensions. Maybe I'll be getting different surgeries. Like, I don't know. And I'm walking away from this pandemic so okay with that now.
Yeah.
In a way I was never before. Well, I actually think that's positive.
I used to say to Lennon, like, I wish everyone, and again, I've said a lot of weird things, but I wish everyone could just get a tiny bit of cancer. They can survive it. But I used to say this before the pandemic because I wanted people to know life is impermanent. So please start living your best life now. If there's a problem, fix it. Okay. That might be your neck. That might be your marriage. That might be your job. It's imminent because we could all die at any moment. That's the truth. Now, again, Lennon says this isn't appropriate cocktail conversation. Do you notice, she says, Jessica, people moving away from you? If people say, you know what, I got to fill up, that doesn't mean they're thirsty. That means they want to get out and away.
Yes. If they say they have to use the bathroom and then just walk over to a different group, they never did have to use the bathroom. They were just trying to walk away.
So I don't want to. By the way,
of course not. And I also, you know, all of multiple truths are possible. Like, I am going to be living like a fuck yes attitude, and I'm moving in to this new time with that. And I'm also extremely critical of a beauty industry and a system and infrastructure that's constantly set up to make women feel that we shouldn't age, that we're not valuable as we age, our currency as our age. I completely resist all of that. So, you know, lots of contradictions. You know, you're going to find lots of contradictions here.
If somebody is here listening and they want to, A, find a thread of conversation that has a theme, you're not going to find it.
Yeah,
you're not going to find it. If you want to find consistent held beliefs, you're not going to find it. Because right now I'm like, you're absolutely right. Don't change anything.
Yes. And just a minute ago, we felt something very differently. So it's very hard to follow.
All are welcome. All are welcome.
Now, Jessica.
Yes.
Now, I just want to hear a little bit about your hopes and dreams for this podcast. This is our inaugural episode. What are you looking forward to?
Okay. I've never been so excited for anything, really. And truly, I am so excited. When you called me and said, this is crazy. You wouldn't want to do this, would you? I said, Absolutely, yes. And I got that feeling like, ooh, this is one of those sole purpose type of things. Again, I don't want to put too much pressure. This is what Lennon says. When you meet somebody, don't tell them, ooh, I would think we're going to be best friends. I said that to her. She said, I almost ran for the hills. But I really feel like my evolution as a person has been to be more and more authentic to mm-hmm. myself, but also to others. Because what I've noticed is that brings people closer together. And so as opposed to going on a podcast and trying to be funny and entertain, and I'm like, what if we just were absolutely ourselves?
Terrifying.
And what if the people we have on, and these are our best friends, what if they came on and felt safe enough to just be themselves? Mm. And what if we all shared, and not in an annoying way, but it or in a preachy way, but what if we all shared, hey, here's something I went through and this is what I learned? Because I think that we're all so busy and we don't all live the same things. What if I could learn a little something about, say, what Kulop went through, who we have on the podcast when she was looking for her dad, or what Danielle went through when she's going to talk about her journey with infertility, like, or Casey went through when she lost her mom, like, what if we learned a little something?
Mm-hmm. And Casey, I love that. And Casey is well on her way to becoming a wizard. That's an interesting
conversation. Morgan Walsh, a friend of ours.
Morgan
She'll
Walsh.
Stop. She sees a van. She sees like what you see with a taco van. You see a lot of those taco trucks. She sees one that says Medi Spa. She pulls right over and she says, shoot it in my face. And that's like, and she was the first adopter of hair extension. She looked like Britney Spears. God, and not in a good way.
Poor thing. Yeah, she did eyelashes first. She did everything first. Honestly,
eyelashes
before,
made her
like,
look like a
FDA
dragonfly.
Approved. Yeah.
It was upsetting. Like, we could hear them blink. But like, thank God she did that. So that's what I'm excited about. What are you excited about, June?
To be honest, I'm excited about all that. And I am excited to spend time with you. And honestly, to have a reason to talk to you and settle in like this once a week. You know, I was flashing back this morning to, and we talk about it a little bit. The first time, you know, Jessica and I met, Casey and I stalked her at the UCB Theater in New York, and then we invited her out to drinks, like truly took you on a date. And then Casey asked you if you shaved your pubes or not. And I was absolutely mortified and very angry with Casey because I felt like she'd blown our chance to get to know you.
You'd only made me love you more.
I hope so. But then I flashed to our experience in LA together when we were both auditioning for the same pilot.
And I showed up in a dirty tank top.
Yes.
A dirty tank top late without my script.
Terrible. We both looked terrible. I was wearing moccasins. Like
you were wearing a moccasin and like doing your eyeliner in the waiting room.
I know people are always shocked
by that. No, this wasn't just an audition. This was the final step. There were three of us, I believe, and the third, God love her. I don't know who it was, but she had she had done professional blowout. She had her lines.
Right.
I had to ask her. I go, if you wouldn't mind, can I have your script when you're done? And she goes, it has my notes on it. I go, I'll ignore them. I got the part.
So I'm going to say that you did get the part. You did get the part. And it was the first time I think I ever felt genuinely happy for someone else getting what I wanted, because I was like, God damn it. If it's not going to be me, I'm very glad that it's Jessica St. Clair. So I was reflecting on that this morning. Like, it's been an honor to lose out parts to you.
Likewise.
For the past, it really has. It's
likewise.
Been an honor. And I've also called you in to, like, if I couldn't do something, I'm like, have you given Jessica St. Clair a look?
I've taken over a job that, like, a day and a half after you've had to bow out for something, either personal or professional. And I get on set and people are whispering and, like, they don't want me to know. And I'm like, listen, we're the same size. We bring a same bitch quality to a certain role. I said, I'm happy to be here.
All of that's to say, I'm thrilled to have these conversations with you. And our conversation with the very talented, very wonderful, and very dear friend of ours, Casey Wilson.
Right. And I will say also, if after the release of this podcast, you get a report that June and I have been arrested for public nudity in Joshua Tree, a GoFundMe for the bail money would be appreciated. Not necessary, but appreciated.
Appreciated. She's an actress, writer, podcaster, and an all-around good time gal.
Great bangs.
You know her from Happy Endings, SNL, Black Monday, and the wildly popular podcast Bitch Sesh. I've known her since we were 18. We've shared credit cards, automobiles, and a lot of laughs. She is Casey Wilson. Hi, Casey.
Hi, June Diane. Hi, Jessica.
Casey, thank you so much for coming. The theme of today's podcast is healing and healers.
Wow.
And we were just talking about how you've gotten us in to most of the healers we've met, you've found first. And I know that you're up to some really interesting things, including a course to become a psychic, which your own best friend June didn't know.
Well, and here's the thing. I think that trajectory for a lot of
June didn't know this.
It's just hard to hear it said back. It sounds so insane.
Well, is it more insane than you telling me you have a gift certificate to go see a wizard?
Okay. Yes, I do. And I'd love to have this wizard on here after I see
him or her.
And listen, it's an interesting choice on our behalf on the deep dive to just bypass healers themselves and go directly to the healed. And
that's
the
right.
healing.
Well, the healee is trying to become the healer.
And that's a trajectory we've seen before.
Uh-huh. Give us a list, if you could. And this is kind of like when you ask for a list of who you've slept with.
For I have some an equally people. Long list for both.
True. Give us a list of the types of healers that you've seen in your lifetime.
Thank you so much for that question, Jess, because I've wanted to get this out there.
I want
everyone to know, like, I was sort of into this. When I lived in New York, I just went to therapy. It was, like, pretty bare bones. I was lucky enough.
And you were one of the first people, I knew who went to therapy.
I have been in analysis psychotherapy 1 to 2 times a year, 1 to 2 times a week for 17 years. Now, I know that's excessive and entitled as hell. But I had such an anger problem and I really needed it. I feel I would not be sitting on this floor. I wouldn't be lucky enough to sit on a floor with no chair if I hadn't done that.
You're among friends, by the way, in terms of the anger problem. Yeah. And I actually think, and I'd love to hear from our listeners, like, I think for women, that is a problem.
And it isn't managing.
Yes. But I think it's almost like, you know, we weren't necessarily given the tools, and we're hopefully giving that to our kids to talk about their feelings that are negative and asking for what we need. That's a difficulty for women.
Okay.
And so it can come out in
but
anger.
But Jessica, another way to frame it is that we have a lot to be angry about.
Mm. Yes.
We have a lot to be angry about, and we haven't been encouraged to be angry. And
That's right.
It may not be a coat we know how to wear. But it doesn't mean that we shouldn't be angry because there is actually an awful lot.
Well,
to
you can
about.
Be angry, but it's how you express it.
I've learned it,
but I haven't learned yet.
Listen, people don't like how I express my anger, and I've been given that feedback.
I've been giving so much feedback.
I feel like the way you express your anger, we're going to lose a TV remote.
Yeah. Well,
we're not going to be able to get to our TV after your anger. And with me, you're not going to be able to use your phone. My phone will be smashed into. When I'm most angry, I turn on myself.
That's crazy.
I've thrown phones out the speeding cars on a highway more than once. I've smashed them into glass plates. I always take it out on my own phone in contact. And, you know, growing up, though, I am modeling that behavior out of my mother. When I tell you, our family vacations consisted of camping or driving 22 hours to Kansas City.
God,
the amount of times I have images of sitting in the back seat in snow, watching my mom slowly walk along the side of the highway while my dad in the highway is just 1 mile an hour going, Kath, get back in the car.
God damn it.
I'm going to get off in this exit, but she's on foot.
But your father probably said something fucking
annoying. 100%. But us just being in the backyard with like a dog running around yapping, just like, is mom going to get back in the car? Yeah. And if she does, I'm also scared. Like, I'm scared
either way.
Yeah. But so that is what started your journey of self-discovery, yes, was a problem with anger, and obviously not modeled well. God bless,
yeah,
to all of our parents and the people who have come before us.
But yeah, like, I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
I will say, like, I come down in the middle of both of you. Not that you're in opposition, but I was so angry and I had such a rage problem that it was at the point where it would alienate good friends, and that's not what I wanted.
Yeah,
so I did have to take the like the foam off the latte, like take a little of the top off.
Never heard that before.
Neither have I. It makes no sense.
Take the foam off the latte is not a latte great anymore. One. I'm going to be using that.
But I'm okay. I feel that anger is a quality that actually, like, some people need to be angrier. And I think as long as you can harness it, it's actually the most incredibly powerful tool we have.
But I do think it needs harnessing, right? It tells you that something's wrong. Something's not
sitting
right.
And especially now, we can't sit back.
No. And if you harness it, that's right. I believe if we all women were able to harness our rage right now, we absolutely could fix what's happening, could overturn shit. And we should, and we need to.
Because my type of anger was vacillating between just a people pleasing to the degree that then resentments would build. And I would eviscerate someone to a level that they were really not seeing coming, because up until that point, I'd been trying to win their favor to such a degree. So it was more of like a shock. Anyway, to answer your early question, so then when I moved out to LA, I feel like, you know, when people go west, as they did in like the mining times, that's when things like you're pushed
covered
literally
wagon
to the brink of our country and you can't go any further. And so that's where I think things get very strange and you're searching, like that is the move west. And I feel like I became a seeker along with a friend, Kulat Vilaysack. We kind of fell into a groove together and in fact ran a retreat for our friends, which was like the blind leading the blind. We were like, please pay to come to a retreat.
Can I say one thing about the retreat? Because I was a participant.
Thank you for coming and looking to me for guidance.
This is insane.
This is wild. I know. So here's what I'll say about the retreat, which was titled NAMS, which stood for No Apologies, Manifest, and Be Seen. So
sometimes,
and the return retreat was Bitalams. Go on.
No, when I went to NAMS, and there was a fee, but that fee covered...
Kulap and I took no money for that.
That did not cover our facilitators.
Anything we lost money,
right,
know that.
Your friends, Casey and Kulap.
Your peers, who by all accounts were struggling way more than everyone else. Way more. And we really took a position of like, guys, here's what you need to do with your lives. That's so patently obvious.
Oh, God. So,
okay, I have something to say.
Casey.
I have come around a lot on this, which is like, first my seeking was like, and now I will heal others. And now where I'm coming to is a place of giving no advice to anyone.
Oh, I think that's when
I think advice is dangerous. Go on.
Okay. Well,
and self-serving.
Well, then I'll never speak.
When I was a participant at NAMS, and it wasn't actually, it was a very impactful retreat. My only feedback, which I had to offer about halfway through the day one, because there was a nighttime activity, which was very beautiful. And then day one, we started and there were packets, laminated packets.
Yeah.
Like we are going.
Right.
Now, the activities were scheduled.
There wasn't a ton of downtime.
There was no downtime.
Wow. See, I would have thought all
the downtime. That's not true, June. We were like 20 minutes pool, but get your little fanny in and out.
Oh, my God.
Right.
And then it was like people were having, and I will
get dry. We don't want any yeast infections at NAMS.
To the credit of our facilitators, people were having major emotional breakthroughs. Like one of our dear friends was hysterically crying.
Coming. And you were like, it's pool time.
Hysterically crying. And Casey was like, okay, it's time to flock. We're flocking now. It's a movement exercise. And I was like, well,
and we were out in Joshua Tree. And I was like, Laura, you're leading.
I was like, can we just wait? Can we?
And I was like, and while you're flocking, you better be thinking of the performance art piece you're going to do for all of us tonight.
I was like, can we just take a second? To process what our dear friend is going
But we didn't
right
have time.
Now.
I'm just going to quickly just answer your question and rattle off what I've gotten
into.
Therapy was the first thing. The next thing I think was astrology with Heidi Rose Robbins, who I really got so much out of. Then
Marianne Williamson was somebody you guys
I saw Tuesday every
nights
week before she, of course, was attempting to be the leader of the free world. And then I got very into her books and also, of course, in Miracles.
You got Marianne.
Right. I got into Marianne. Then June and I got into a woman named...
Oh, God, Casey, I forgot about this.
Named Rahel Putter.
Who's
who
that?
Taught the Grinberg Method.
Oh, wait, was this when you guys transformed into werewolves?
No.
No, that was an acting class.
Okay.
Okay.
Which is its own type of healing, but let's just put that over there for a second.
Yeah, that's going to be a different
also issue. Also, got very mad at me because I wasn't overlap, like receiving a wolf that she was doing an exercise. That's over. So the Grinberg method is where you physically, if let's say you're having a pain in your shoulder that's also related to emotional pain, you know, in your childhood, you exaggerate the pain in your shoulder. You don't try to release it. You go into your pain.
Okay.
That's the entire premise, is you're going into your pain in order to release it. So we would watch people sit in the chair.
Wait, you do this in front of other people?
We were in a group therapy class. It was about 10 grand. No, it wasn't that much, but we were in a group therapy class.
But if you added up the money you've spent, we could own a company.
Yes. We would sit with strangers, and at first, Jude and I were acting like these fucking weirdos. Like, we're on the outside here.
Right. It's a sociology experiment.
Yeah. By the end, right there in there, hoping this one guy got his woodworking business off the ground.
Hoping this one, like, gets to see his son more than
which is he's beautiful, by the way. Yes. And that is one of the things, no matter what heal you're going to and whether or not you believe in it, when it's a group activity, like, you're all there to better each other, and I do, and yourself.
We did see people make changes.
And I believe that energy is very transformative.
No, it's just hard to watch a stranger, you know, go into their pain, drooling and shaking and screaming and coming like a twisted orgasm. It's hard to watch 2 feet away.
The biggest thing we struggled with in that class, and this is what, in Casey and I, a lot of our deep divers are going to know, we both have a lot of Scorpio in our signs.
Right.
So a lot of what we struggled with, and this class, by the way, was like a 4-hour. It started at 7 p.m.
We had a lot of time on your hands at this point.
No work, nothing. And also, our movie Ass Backwards had just crumbled apart, and the crew had turned against us.
That's
and
a whole nother
locked
story.
Up the footage. And so, we were in a very, we had to come back to LA. We're in a very dark place when we took this class. And both of us struggled with the ending time.
You more than me.
No.
Yes.
Casey,
what do you mean?
I took it on because I am an intuitive. Go on.
What do you mean by the ending time?
So, again, I had very little else to do. But when I hear a class is going to end at 10, I'm ready to go at 10.
June would be staring at the clock. And if that motherfucker ticked 1 minute past, but she was not a little bit angry. I went to a 10 of irate.
But if somebody's drooling and in a twisted orgasm, you can't just be like, again, like, we're done.
I know it doesn't line up with the story I just told about Casey.
Again, but there are no threads
over,
and but we don't apologize.
But also it was enraging because the teacher who I love wasn't like, guys, okay, we're going to have to wrap it up. She was like, explore that.
No, and you could be there forever.
You could be there forever. That's right. And of course, I don't want this person to feel terribly, but I'm like, I also have
you to have go, to go home and do nothing.
To very little.
Yeah.
You know, I've got no prospects.
But this is a theme between our friendship, which is that June will be annoyed about something. I won't find it as big of a deal. But what will happen is you'll vent so much. Now I'm taking it on, and then you feel quite good. And then I explode with rage on the person over an issue I didn't feel was at least a 10.
That's right.
By the end, the one class you missed, I was like, you know what? It's fucked up that we're not leaving in front of everyone. And she made me like go into the rage. And I was like, she's fucking fucked up, man. We want to leave. And then June came back. And of course, I'd quite taken care of that issue. She had us, our little fanny, scuttled out at like 5 till 10. Well, I got very into my work with Joe Komar, hot yoga instructor.
Very connected, yes. Right. And I remember when you got married, we were in the throes of Joe, of Yoga Joe.
Joe did,
and he has an incredible studio now in La Brea, but he did healing sessions for me during my wedding and led us all. Yeah. So he was a practitioner I followed for a long time. And then, you know, I got into TM, of course. And don't forget when I got my kitchen healed. Okay, moving on.
Well, the kitchen healer.
Well, let's stop at that for one second.
Let's
stop at that because there's a beautiful trajectory. And I do want to mention that therapy and your work with analysis and talk therapy has been the baseline through all of this.
Of course.
So that hasn't gone away. And I think it's important for our listeners to hear that. And you also really did get me into therapy.
Wow.
Which is important. And I do think there's also like, there can be too much navel gazing as it were.
Yes.
You can, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's important to not put too much responsibility on the person. Like, you want to also know that you can heal yourself.
Well, I think that
I'll hold up anyone.
Me too.
No, but I
and
think
that can be dangerous.
Yeah. I think that a really good therapist, and there's lots of bad ones out there, but
there
if you find a really good one, then their goal is always going to be for you
to do this work on your own.
That's right.
That if you're with a therapist who's making you feel like you're completely nothing without them, they're probably not very good.
Right.
But I think that to explore that relationship with yourself, who you're going to be with at the end of the day, at the very end of the day, there's nothing more important than that return to self. I did have a mother who was very into healing. I mean, my mom was up on Marianne Williamson's Return to Love before anyone. So wow. I had a mom who was in OA, not AA, but Al-Anon. So we were getting 12 steps every
That's
which way.
That's very helpful. The very 12 helpful. Steps are a spiritual backbone to our society.
Elaborate.
I don't think they are talked about as openly but they are a powerful, like, I think the most powerful, like, the big book of Alcohol Anonymous of
should be
Anonymous,
the thing that is the
I think
thing
it
everyone
is as
goes
important
to.
In our times as the Bible.
I wow. absolutely agree. I did something called dialectical behavioral therapy.
Which you got me into. And of course, I saw that woman as well.
Did you? Oh,
yeah.
You did. Oh, right. But I did actually a whole six-month course, which was essentially, you know, kindergarten for adults of, like, emotions. Like, when you don't know, you know, what you have no tools in terms of regulating your emotions, going and learning that. And this woman who started it, Marsha Linehan, I think her name is, she basically pulled from Buddhism, the 12 steps, you know, all of the kind of healers you could think of and the religions, and pulled the best things, and then put it in a program so you can learn about it. But I was like, the 12 steps, like, they make perfect sense to me. Like they should teach them in school.
What I will say about 12-step work is that the meetings that I've attended, it is like, I feel like we've lost any formal spiritual, we've lost that center. Not everyone, you know, some people still attend church, but I think people have largely given way to, like, an idea of, like, something's out there,
but
spiritual,
it's not a
but
community.
There's no, like, ritual centering yourself around it. And I think people have looked at, like, yoga classes as that now, and we are searching. But for me, when I attend those meetings, yes, it's about this and what happened to me, yes. But it's actually like a group of people being vulnerable together and saying, hey, we want to be better. And the rituals are the same in every meeting. So it's incredibly soothing.
That's beautiful.
Okay, so now we're at Kitchen Healers. And then, of course,
and the Kitchen Healer, just quickly.
Yeah.
Can you just tell us what the Kitchen Healer was? Because, and I have to tell you, I came into this group of friends extremely resistant to everything you were up to. Well, imagine if you're someone who doesn't spend any money and you're telling me I got to drop $250 to go see an astrologer. I'm like, no fucking way. And I remember you got so angry at me. Casey, you did. Yeah. You said, God damn it. It
sounds like me.
We'll gift it to you. And you did. You paid for my first session to Heidi Rose Robbins. She turns out being number two of my calls when I get cancer.
Yeah.
Number two.
Wow. That's
what. Who I called.
Who was number one?
Yeah.
My
Mom's?
Parents.
Yeah. That makes
That's
sense.
Appropriate. Yeah. Yeah.
That makes sense.
At any rate.
But you don't expect her to get the two slot.
No, that's really.
Well, and then I had her on
honestly,
B-style. And you guys said I was using her not in the correct way, like a sanctioned way.
You know.
I just want.
It's hard to say
paid.
That because you were. Going
I want
to
a woman to be
time.
Paid for a woman's work.
I was paid for my time, but I had to check
it.
In with her
didn't
sometimes,
like
twice
it.
A day.
We were just trying to protect, you know,
your sources.
Yeah.
Now, again, what I was trying to say is, and I do digress, but Casey did something so hilarious to me during chemo, which was the week of my last really bad session. It was Christmas, and everybody was jetting off to tropical locales. And when I tell you I was an angry motherfucker, I yes. wanted to burn my house down and all of yours.
Yeah.
And a doorbell rang, and what was delivered to my home by Casey was a 20-pound bag. Now, when you order a gigantic bag of dog food from Amazon, I'm saying that this bag was twice as big.
Wow.
It might have been
like,
more than 20
pounds. It sounds like Santa's sack.
It was.
It was bigger than Santa's sack.
Wow.
Of dark chocolate coins that they put on the beds at the Four Seasons. How Casey got into the
kitchen. But you told me you liked those.
I had eaten them, and they said I could eat dark chocolate. I had eaten them at your house. Now, how you got into the kitchen of the Four Seasons?
This is Naomi Kass, my mother-in-law.
How?
Well, I said, a friend likes those. She marched herself over the Four Seasons. I told her your situation. And she got into that kitchen and bought a humongous bag.
bag.
Now, I would dig into this bag like you would a feed bin and legitimately take handfuls of dark chocolate and eat it. And thank God. Now, it was the same week you sent a healer named Ethan. I don't know what to lay hands
Sorry
on me.
About that.
We never saw him again.
Yeah, he did.
They're not all going to hit.
They're not all going to take
all a hit. But actually, we did have a lovely session. But anyway, I would say too that, Casey, you nourish your friends. You're a big caretaker.
Well, thank you. But I do. I've had to struggle with excess. I'm a person
again,
at excess.
I then developed with a dark money, chocolate with... obsession and / addiction that I then have been still struggling to break.
I know.
That's tough.
You take the good, you take the bad.
But I needed it. I needed that in that
that's
moment.
A beautiful
because
story.
I needed to be shown that it was okay for me to treat myself.
Well, I wish I could have done more.
No, you did everything. You are the human version of a cashmere blanket. And I do mean cashmere. And when I say cashmere, I mean 100%.
Thank you.
I don't mean like there's not a poly blend in
there.
Thank
you. That means so much.
But it is.
So again, on this podcast, a lot of spirits are going to be present and we'll be calling on the ancestors. We'll be calling on those who have passed on. They're very much so.
No, they're all here. I feel like we set three chairs for them.
That's what I'm saying. They're all here.
If anything, they want us to do this podcast.
Yeah, I feel like your parents are here, my mom's here, Kelly's here.
Kelly is my best friend who died at 37, who has been guiding me. And we'll talk about that later, too. She definitely knew I had cancer and was screaming at me for a good week before I found it. But especially the day before I found the lump, I turned to Dan, my husband, and I said, is Kelly trying to tell you something? Because she's screaming at me. And we had to cut a vacation short because of where we're staying wasn't good. And we were driving back. So it was a Friday morning that night. It was a Thursday. And that Friday morning, I found the lump. And I knew that's what she was trying to tell me. And then I just, Kelly, take the wheel. Let her guide me.
Because Kelly can be a higher power. Those who passed on can be
100%.
Our higher power.
Now, Casey, your mother came through in a major way.
Major way.
You saw a woman that we are all dying to see, but will probably never get on her
Laura
schedule.
Laura Lynn Jackson, who has a book called Signs that I think everyone should read.
Yes. And also, if you want to hear her, and I think in a very kind of succinct way, Chelsea Handler had her on her podcast.
And Gwyneth Paltrow speaks to her on Goop podcast too.
Okay. So do check those two out if you want to get more backstory about this. But somehow, because she's Casey, got on her schedule, even though she's booked for 10 years out.
Well, the first thing I said to her, because a friend I know a little bit, not that much, like my sister-in-law's friend got me in with her. And when I spoke to her, I said, I have to tell you, because I had tried to get in with her a year before, nothing. And I said, I just want to thank you so much for scheduling and getting me on your schedule. It means so much to me. And she goes, oh, but I didn't. She said, the other side books all my appointments.
Oh, my God.
She said, people get to me when they're meant to, when the other side is.
Can I say something about that? So, again, my parents have come through to a medium.
You don't want anything else taken away.
And my sisters. And Jessica Sinclair. So, they've come through in various ways, and I have never had the instinct to pursue them more through different channels, like this psychic you're speaking of, Casey, or my sister's medium in New Jersey. And I'm just sort of going with that. So I do believe
and
that,
I had never wanted to do it either.
Yeah.
But when
you do need to, you do.
Yes. As much as I'm into all this healing, I felt it was like a little black magic-y. I don't know.
Yes.
I was like,
it scares me.
Keeping me from this. But I also think I hadn't met the right person, you know?
Yes.
And when I heard Laura Lynn, I'm like, this is the person.
Okay.
She, much like Heidi, is both normal and heart-centered.
She's a mom. Doesn't she live in like Long Island?
She was an elementary school teacher who could no longer ignore her gifts.
Well, it's crazy. Okay. So
I want to hear about what you learned, but also your journey to becoming a psychic yourself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Intuitive. So it was just unbelievable. She reads your aura and then she says very clearly,
she's on the phone.
She's on the phone and she says, I have a screen in my brain where on the right side, people are coming to me. On the left side, I'm reading auras like a screen in her brain. She shuts her eyes and is in meditation.
And when they've done the other scans on her brain, they have seen that like what a normal brain looks like. It like those parts are dead. And the other parts that should not be
she has the brain matter of someone who's been in a terrible car crash and who has brain damaged. So scientists have studied her and they've allowed her to go into when she's reading people. And they have truly said, we don't know how to say this. And she's like, I don't know if this is real. I voluntarily submitted myself.
She checked.
She's like, I want science backing this up because it's so insane.
Okay, so. Yeah,
but I do think, like, this is where women's gifts have been ignored. And I also do think it is a characteristic of white supremacy in general, that we only find things true and valid if they're scientific evidence.
Well, that's, yeah. Of course. Well, look at Western medicine.
She said, she's like, I'm now at a point where I don't.
Eastern, but it's like dragging its heels.
Mm-hmm. She also said, I'm at a point now where I don't care if anyone believes this or not. That's where I'm at now. Like, I'm impacting people's lives. And she's amazing. So basically she said, first I'm going to read your aura, then we'll see who shows up. She starts reading my aura and she's like, someone's here. She says, this is one of the earlier times I've had someone come and she's just here, and she says she does want you to hear all of this, but she is here. It's your mother. And the journey, when I tell you the psychic wasn't like, now was there ever something in your purple color? Like, none of it was tentative. It was like, okay, you're like, maternal grandparents are here, R&R. I'm like, Red and Rita. She's like, uh-huh, paternal grandmother, L. Louise. I'm like, yes.
That's
she's like,
crazy.
They're here.
That's-
then she gives full death order. She said, your mom's brother's here, a much lighter energy, passed a long time ago when you were little. She said, his spirit's here. Now, he died a long time ago. She says, then your maternal grandmother, she welcomed your mother, then your then your father's mother, and then your grandfather passed last.
All of this was correct.
All of this, just like boom, 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 boom. Like, I'm not even, she wasn't even dealing with that. She was just like, that's what happens. Then she just got into things that are so crazy. I mean, she said, your mom has a warning that is very, 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 like, has to get this to you. She said, your mom knows I've been doing a ton of construction in your house. The construction workers are leaving the gate open to the pool. And I walk outside because I was in my guest house and the gate is wide open. And she's like, your mother wants you out there at 7:30 in the morning.
Checking the gate.
Yelling at everyone and checking the gate. And I've since put padlocks on them and got a net for the pool. And it's just.
And did you feel like it was 2 hours long, right?
Yes.
Did you feel in that time, because you must every day want to call your mother and be with her, did you feel like you were with her?
Yes. I wrote down on my form, this is the first time I have felt mothered since my mom died. Which, of course, that makes sense. But, like, truly, like, I also felt my mom and I were in a tough, we weren't in a tough stage when she died, but we just certainly never even got to the place where we could make it into that. Like, we're friends.
Well, you were young.
Any of that.
You
yeah.
You were how old when she passed?
23, 24. I think
that's so young. Of course, you're in a like,
so we just weren't in that
totally
stage.
Place
I have always said I felt our conversation has continued over the years, that we are still in relation to each other.
That's beautiful.
And but my main feeling of my mom being passed is that I'm sad for her, that she's upset, and I'm taking on her like psychic burdens and trying to work through her stuff through healing. Like, I'm still have taken on her burdens in a way and feeling that she's still in pain and all of this. And when I tell you guys, it was released, it's gone.
Really?
It's off me. I'm like, she's okay. Like, I'm like, she's okay. She's great. Like, I am no longer taking that. It has been a weight no amount of therapy, anything. I'm like, she's okay. And Laura Lynn says there are doorways when people are to cross and it's okay. We think of them as life has to go till they're 90. And she says the universe sometimes, like if someone is killed, that's not necessarily someone's doorway, but ultimately it is. And she's like, she had an earlier doorway. And just like, and that is what happened. You know, it's very like, as hard as it is for us on earth to understand, they are okay.
You know, I'm
still here.
Very much.
Well, that's what's
energetically and spiritually. She wasn't. She's not kooky. She's not like your mom sitting here in her coat and like divas. She's like they're energetically with us because there's a collective mission on Earth for us all to raise to our highest good, and we're all energy and light. And so, teams of light. It behooves everyone for us to raise us all up.
And when you say teams of light,
everyone has teams of light. Those around them
which
move
is
past.
Teams
of light.
And these are people you know for sure. Usually.
Yes, and I'll say I've found teams. People to be out there that I can tell are on my team. One is our landscaper who passed.
Whoa.
And I've known her a very brief time, but I feel her presence in my home, in the flowers around me. I'm like, she designed this garden and is now gone. And when I tell you, she's around.
Wow.
I'm not saying she's just focusing on me. She has beautiful children and grandchildren. It's not that. But she said there are people who are rooting for you and they make up your team of light, and that all we need to do, it's so simple. She said, the minute you think to yourself, I'd like to call in my team for help. They're on it instantaneously.
And that's incredible. And Casey, she said too that June, I don't know if this is too painful to talk about, and if it is, we do not have to. But when your mother passed, it was June who told you.
Yes.
And she said that what did she say about that?
She said, I wasn't able to say goodbye to you or your brother, but I sent June, Diane.
And she knew that your best friend had two first names.
Yes,
and
yes. She said, your best friend, a soul sister, has two names. And she said, and she wants there to be very special emphasis on the second name.
And that is because June took her middle name, Diane, when her mother passed. That was not your given middle name.
It was my middle name, but I never used it.
You never used it. So you said, after that, I want to be known as June Diane, because otherwise you were correct. Just June Raphael. Okay. So,
and she said, because I went back and listened to it, she kept saying the word, she wants the second name to be acknowledged.
What the hell?
Because your mother and Casey's mother,
she said, are they are together on both of our teams of life, which is wild.
And she had also said that we had a friend who was going through something really hard. And she said to you, Casey, you guys are not sending, you're not asking your team.
Yeah, she said we need to
enough
do more
to send her light.
Okay,
and to the situation.
Yeah,
and
every morning now I'm sending you to the teams, please send our friend help. She said we need more help here.
So you can also help each other.
Yes.
So you can ask your teams to help
totally.
Somebody else.
And it is a prayer. It's
a prayer.
Yeah. And she said, obviously, they can't like change the course of the universe, but they can send energy and light to something that is needed.
That can release some of that pressure or help speed it along, because they can't control other people's behavior. No. Is that right?
Yeah. But guys, I mean,
no.
Rejection is God's protection. Anyway.
I believe that too.
Yeah.
Thank you, Casey.
Thank you, Casey. Guys, this has been a pleasure and an honor. And I hope you'll be seeing me for any intuitive sessions coming up.
Thank you, Casey.
Thank you.
Deep Divers, Casey's book, her essay collection, The Wreckage of My Presence, published by HarperCollins, comes out on May 4th. Hardcover and audiobooks are available for pre-sale now wherever books are sold. I have read this book. I cried. I laughed hysterically. It's absolutely wonderful. Please head out to your local bookstore and purchase it as soon as possible. The Deep Dive is produced by Jessica St. Clair, June Diane Raphael, and Earwolf. Our producer is Cody Fisher and sound engineer Jordan Duffy. And a special thanks to Lyra Smith. You can listen to our ad-free and bonus episodes on Stitcher Premium. And for a free one-month trial of Stitcher, use code DEEPDIVE. And remember, the best way to support this show is to rate and review.
And a huge thank you to Anne Geddes for her beautiful photo that she allowed us to use for our cover art. Please head over to AnneGeddesBaby.com and download her new app, which is a safe place you can upload and store all of your precious images of your children and share them with friends and family, plus much more.
We'll see you next time.